This is the order of battle!
Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and Sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 1/18 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast. I know you have heard about SoCal Joe Show. It is a every May and December G.I. Joe show in Southern California, specifically the Temecula area, which is somewhat equidistant between San Diego and Los Angeles. May 19 is their next show, and I sat down with Eben Foster to discuss the crazy amount of customs they do, how much awesome stuff I hear about their one-day show, and hopefully convince more people to make the trip to Southern California. The Four Joe Men are huge members of our community, both in knowledge and time in and how much they help others. And while they have their own show, they also show up and promote other shows. So enjoy this conversation. I absolutely did, and I hope that we all see each other in Southern California sometime soon. The last time I was out there, I stayed with Solar at his house.
Oh, Danny?
Yeah.
Yeah, Danny's about 25 minutes from me.
So you guys have such a cool, like, large group of longtime collectors in your area.
We do, because like Drew and I mean, it's crazy to think. So when I met Drew, he was in San Diego living with his brother. And I was looking for, I don't know, some random G.I. Joe. This is like 14 years ago. I brought we weren't even married yet. I brought Shanine with me. I'm like, oh, I got to meet this guy in San Diego to pick up some toys. She's like, oh, okay. We made a day of it, obviously. It's just, I'm pretty lucky because anytime I need anything, I drive 10 minutes away and go, hey, Drew, I need this. And he's like, oh, okay, here you go.
That sounds very dangerous.
It does. It's very dangerous. Like, I was just looking for a Brazilian lowlight, which he helped me get, and it was a lot of money, but well worth it because I've been looking for one for a long time. And it was carded. Oof. And it was so pretty looking. I'm like, I just got to get it. So that's nice. And then, like you said, I got Danny. He's 25 minutes away. And then you got David Miller. You got Robert Lemoyne, who's up. I mean, I'm trying to think. Those are the four Joe men, me, Drew, Robert, and Ron. And then Dave is kind of like the silent fifth Joe man because he does all of our customizing.
Rust was just out here at the beginning of the year, and he's constantly like, come out, hang out with me. We'll go by Drew's. We'll go by Danny's. We'll go by this person's. We'll see Miller. We'll see.
Yeah.
He's very much pushing to like, get on a plane. Let's go.
Do it. I mean, obviously, maybe you can in December. It's funny. Rust was just at Drew's on Friday. So the three of us were hanging out, me, and Rust, actually, he does quite a bit for us, too. So that flyer that I sent you and our previous flyer, basically, he's our flyer person now. I just said, Robert, you're going to be the person that does our flyers.
He's a good artist.
He is. People love the new flyer he did because he basically, you know, it's a Toys R Us flyer that he made up for SoCal Joe Show. It looks awesome. The nostalgia on it is, people love it.
He's trying to put together a flyer that convinces people to get on a plane.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is good. The last show we did in December, I don't know what his name was, but he came from South Carolina. I think it's one of our furthest people. You know, he came all the way out from South Carolina and you know, he got a ton of stuff.
Last month in Kentucky, for the first time, I got to meet DeSimone, which I know he comes down to your guys' show.
Yeah. James DeSimone. Yeah. We actually see, well, usually we see him once a year because there's a show that is the Robo Toy Fest. And Robo Toy Fest has like a small little nook that's got G.I. Joes. So we always see him there and he brings donuts. But this past year, his wife passed away, so he didn't make it. Hopefully he'll make it to the next show, but we'll see. If he's there, great. But if he's not, I would not be surprised because, you know, he's kind of traveling the world now. And he's the last I heard, he's traveling the world quite a bit.
Yeah, that's what he told me. He said he wanted to do the show in Kentucky because it was in between two of his travels. And once his wife died, he wants to be gone for months at a time and cruises and trips and things. But I had never met him before. You know, I mean, he's kind of one of our original convention guys. And we all have his book and he's been around forever. He kept making jokes about how much he's forgotten. And we're like, that's sure, of course you have. I mean, we all forget stuff and we haven't been doing it for 40 years. So
exactly. Yeah, that's the reason why we did our show or started our show in December of 2017 is because the Burbank show, which James did, it ended. So me, Ron, Drew, and Robert were like, well, should we do our own show? If we do, you know, how do we go about it? And, you know, basically it just formed and became the SoCal Joe Show and Toy Convention. It's mainly G.I. Joe driven, but we put SoCal Joe Show and Toy Convention because obviously we want other. I mean, there's tons of, you know, there's Transformers, Star Wars, there's all He-Man, whatever your heart desires is at the show. Me personally and the guys that are in the group with me are mainly all G.I. Joe collectors. I believe Drew has a little bit of this and that. Robert and Ron also a little bit of this and that. I would say Dave, who does our customizing, he's got quite a bit of He-Man and stuff like that, but he's also mainly G.I. Joe and Rust. I don't think he has anything but G.I. Joe, but he's very particular. He's got like 800 Serpentors and 1000 Shockwave version 3. You know, he doesn't, you know, that's his thing. I don't even think he has any other toys but G.I. Joe.
I think his other toys are his cars.
Yeah, exactly. Are his truck, his different cars. Oh my God, his truck.
I mean, it makes sense. All of us, like I'm like you. I am mostly G.I. Joe. That is my main. But none of us are singular. We all like other things. So it's nice to see other things at your shows. And One of the guys that hung out with us a lot in Kentucky was a Transformer guy. He knew nothing about G.I. Joe, but he saw that a G.I. Joe show is a toy show. So he came through and was trying to scoop up as much Transformers as he could, hoping to get a better price because it was a Joe show.
Yeah, yeah, it makes sense.
Come on through. Here's Motu. Here's a bunch of random stuff. But yeah, so I didn't know that you guys were 2017 was your start.
Yeah, 2017 December.
Real early in your guys's lifespan then, I was hearing about you. And maybe it was because of the 2018 JoeCon or just because I'm friends with Miller and Soler and so many others. But I felt like I feel like I heard about you guys immediately. And since 2017 was the last time I've been out to California, I've been wanting to show up and see the show and hang out with all of you guys. Even though like there's a couple of you I've only met at the most recent Joe Fests. So many of you guys and the people that come to your show are very good friends and longtime collectors that I've known for a while. So finding out that this is twice a year and that you guys started in 2017 and have already made such a name for yourselves, it makes me want to come even more. When you guys posted your May poster, seems to be growing and doing fun community hangout things with toys. Knowing that, you know, it was the four of you guys and now, you know, you got your fifth man who does the customs. Rust is now on your circulars. You're growing the team, but also I'm hearing nothing but great things about coming to the show from everyone that's been. I think Skamoski came out to one a couple of years ago. When I saw DeSimone last month, he was having nice things to say about your show. Like, I'm excited that we have something on the West Coast, because I think you guys are the only Joe show that I know of out West.
So Robo Toy Fest is, I guess, what the show is called. And then there is a individual room that's connected to the show that is all the G.I. Joe vendors. You know, they put us in our own little area. It basically gives us just another time to all hang out and see one another. I mean, our show's two times a year, and then we do Robo Toy Show. So I do three shows in Southern California. But when we go to the Robo Toy Fest, we don't promote it as SoCal Joe Show. We just go there and have our own table and sell our own stuff. And then I hand flyers out like, oh, here's our flyers. Come to our SoCal Joe Show, you know, December, whatever it is, December 8th. Or, you know, and usually we have our dates and times for the May show. And I always say, you know, then the next May show will be, you know, the first or second week, you know, whatever it is in May. So you just, you know, word of mouth and then have them spread that around.
And I know you guys do the same thing when you come out east to Joe Fest, which I know at Joe Fest, you guys have brought customs before because you guys do a ton of customs for your show. So I know in another, not just like how fun the show is and how much like community you guys do there, but your customs get a lot of push through in our community as well. I don't know what this May's custom is, but do you do a custom for both shows or one for the year, or how does that work?
Both shows. So there is going to be a custom, and Dave's actually working on it now. I mean, the first shows we did like the modern era figures. Like we did a Night Ops Steel Brigade figure, which was our very first exclusive, probably still one of my favorites because I love Steel Brigade, and it's, you know, it's black and gray, and Dave did this like neon green on the visor. It's awesome. And we got the weapons for that, and a lot of our modern sized figures and even 3¾-inch customs we've done from Marauder John. That's where we ended up getting the weapons for those. So that's what we started with, was the modern stuff. We did that. We did an Iron Grenadier. We did a Headhunter. We did the Python Patrol Crimson Guard, which Dave hand-painted those lines, which is beautiful. But we also did some O-ring stuff when we were able to get those from Red Laser. And Darren from Red Laser was still around, and he's like, hey, I got some leftover O-ring guys. Let's see what we can make with these, which we did, which was great. But then I would say 2022. Yeah, 2022. So 2 years ago.
Was that the Dreadnought?
Yeah, that's when we made our transition, and we did the ground assault ram with a monkey wrench. That was May of 2022. That was our first classified we did. And since then, because classified is just a juggernaut right now, we've been focusing on that. So we did the Dreadnought was the first one we did, and then we did the Starduster in the serial sleeve, which was a huge hit.
Oh, that was gorgeous.
That one's probably the one I think all of us were most proud of, because just, you know, we're like, hey, we're going to do a Starduster, and it just went a little crazy, to be honest, because, like, for example, the ground assault with monkey wrench, we made like 55 of them, but it was so popular, we made a few extra, and then we did a waiting list. So we made about 12 more, brought on Joe Fest. They all sold out. Then we made a waiting list because people wanted it so much, and we sold another, like, I don't know, 65, you know, on the waiting list. We're like, wow, okay, classified's popular. And then after that, we went to the Starduster. And the way the Starduster went is like, okay, we're going to get Starduster. And, you know, I'm thinking, okay, we're going to make another 60 of them or whatever. And Dave's like, nah, man, we should make as many as we can. I can do 200 of them. I swear I can. I'm like, oh, God.
Good for Dave.
Nah, dude, 200, that's crazy. We ended up doing 214 of these things, and we had to, oh God, we had to make another thing. Let's go back to the beginning of go back to the monkey wrench. So when we decided to go to classified, Drew is like, hey, I think we should get Jamie Sullivan involved with the art. You know, I think he can do a really a great job. And I'm like, okay. And I've known Jamie forever. And, you know, he asked me a couple times, like, hey, when are you guys going to have me do art? I'm so busy when it comes to the show that I'm just trying to do everything the same because it's easier. But it was classified, so it was already different. And our previous artist, Scott Krueger, and I wouldn't even say he's previous because he actually was involved with the Starduster. But Scott Krueger did all the smaller stuff, the modern stuff, the O-ring stuff. But Jamie's been doing all the classified. So I go to Jamie. I'm like, hey, Jamie, we're going to do the Ground Assault with Monkey Wrench. You want to do it? And he's like, yeah, I'll do it. And he comes back with the art. And I showed everybody. I'm like, it looks like it came from the store. Yeah. I mean, this looks like, it looked like a comic book cover. It's like, he's like, does this look good? I'm like, I think that'll work, buddy.
That was fantastic art.
Oh, God, it was so good. I mean, all of them have been so good. And then, you know, so we go from that to the Starduster, and he did the art for that. And then we did the sleeve, but Scott Krueger did the sleeve on that. And then when we get all the artwork done, we then send that over to Jason Hayes, and Jason Hayes does all of our printing. So it's kind of like you know, there's actually even more than the four Joe men. You know, we have Dave. Dave is pretty much the artist. And then you have Robert. Robert pretty much helps us with advertisement and making flyers. And then the only one that does any of our art now is Jamie Sullivan. You know, he's done all of the classified stuff. He's doing the current one, and he's doing the one we're doing for Joe Fest. And he'll again be doing the one coming December. And then you got Jason Hayes, who has been doing all of the printing for us. So he gets us the stickers. He got us the cereal box sleeves, basically anything paper wise we get from him. And we all go to Drew's office and we basically become an assembly line.
Perfect.
You have people putting figures together. You have people stickering figures if they need like a sticker on their arm sleeve. You have people making the boxes by stickering the boxes. You have people numbering the boxes. If like, for example, the Starduster, because Dave wanted to do 215 of them, we were assembling those. Usually I don't do anything when it comes to art, like this last show with the bat that we did, which came out really great. Dave did everything there.
Yeah.
But previous to that, with Dana and Starduster, because we made like 115 and 213, we had to assist a little bit, like we had to put figures together, pop on heads. And I'm like, dude, I'm not doing that anymore. We're sticking to 80 figures. That's our limit. We're not doing 200 of these things.
I've been inside Jason Hayes's workshop and his old toy room before he finished the Hayes Mart upstairs. So the last time I was up at Hayes's, the floor was laid. He was doing the drywall, but he hadn't finished Hayes Mart. So I didn't know that he was your print guy. So that's really awesome. Even though you guys are in California and I'm sure you have a dozen options and opportunities to use local printers, you're keeping it in the Joe family using another collector who has the skills and the equipment and is friends with Miller as well. So I'm sure they work really well together. This is really cool. But you did mention something. So I'd asked about whether you do one exclusive a year or two for each show, but it sounds like you mentioned a third for Joe Fest.
Yeah, Dave is very ambitious. You know, he's a go-getter. To be honest, I've been trying to scale back with these guys. I'm like, how about we just do one exclusive, guys? But no one's listening to me. I will say this. So the May show, we're going to have about 80 of our exclusive. And the way, that's another thing I want to talk about, you know, because sometimes at our shows, you know, we number our figures. So 1 through 82. So even though it says 1 through 82, we usually do not have 82 for sale, because each one that's involved with the show gets a figure for free. The four Joe men, we all get one. So that's four there. Dave gets one. Jason Hayes gets one. Jamie gets one. So that's seven off the top right there. So 82.
75.
Is actually 75. Yeah. It's just the way it is. I'm going to make sure that we obviously, that the product we are making, we all get one.
Right. I've heard from other show runners about how they didn't even get their own exclusives. And then they go online and they see their exclusive for more than they're willing to spend, and they're disheartened. So it's good that you guys prioritize you first. I think that's appropriate. And I think that's right. Like that's how it should be, one would think.
Yeah, definitely. They look awesome. So I want to make sure I get one, and I don't want to go on eBay and pay $200 for something that, you know, we're selling for obviously less than that.
And then you put together yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I'd have to, that makes no sense. So we make sure we all have one of each of our items. When we did the little stuff, the Marauder or the little figures, we had Marauder supplying weapons and different accessories we needed. But with Classified, I believe there is other people out there that do it. But what we found easier to do, we have another one that's involved that's done a lot for us. Actually, he's okay. So let's go to Monkey Wrench. So for Monkey Wrench, we had to make a kit because we used the Breaker figure, obviously, and Ram. So what we did with Breaker is Dave took it apart, and then Jesse that casts for us, he is a Tofu Jesse on like eBay and I think Instagram. He casts like heads and guns and stuff like that. He made this Monkey Wrench kit. He's like, here, I can do this head with this vest, a bandolier, and the gun. And we're like, beautiful, that's amazing. So we took that and then made our figure, and he's done that with all of the figures. So he did it with that, with Starduster. He did the grenade launcher gun. He did the jet pack. Obviously, he did the helmet and the visor, and then Dana, he did the head, the hat, the rifle. This last show with the bat, he did the attachments, because the attachments for our bat are the attachments for Buzzer, Ripper, and Torch. So, you know, you got a chainsaw, the jaws of life, and a flamethrower. So that's what the bat comes with. Our bat doesn't, it's not just a repaint of a bat. Our bat comes with three completely different attachments.
Nice.
And then he is also making something for our next figure, which I'm pretty excited about it, and it's going to be awesome. And we also try to do stuff. Well, crap. So everything we've done, like when we did the Ram with Monkey Wrench, we're like, Hasbro's not going to make that. And 2 years ago, that's what we thought. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, man, guys, I think they might make that.
They might make
considering
that.
Considering they're making a Starduster now, because our next one was Starduster, and we went all out. Like I said, we did the serial sleeve. We even have different, all of our figures have different variations, but, you know, we did a black belt variation on Starduster and a brown belt variation on Starduster. And then obviously the jetpack that comes with it. And then you hear like, you know, Classified is like, we're going to do a Starduster. We're like, oh, well, thank God we did that. And I know now that they're doing an Iron Grenadier bat. So, you know, a year ago, cause we're usually a year out. So a year ago, we're like, yeah, we'll do a bat. We're going to do a Dreadnought bat. That's going to be great. You know, there's so many bats. They're not going to do one. But now you hear, oh, they're making an Iron Grenadier bat. Oh, crap. They're probably going to make a Dreadnought bat somewhere down the line, because why not? I would buy it. The only thing we're pretty safe on is I don't think they're going to be doing any October Guard anytime soon. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure Hasbro's not going to, you know, go down that rabbit hole.
Not at the moment, probably not.
Even though if you look at a lot of those characters, like Dana, I believe is Czech. She's not even Russian. She's from like Czechoslovakia, which was a province, but still, you know, a lot of those guys are not necessarily from the Mother Russia. They're all from different whereabouts around that area. But yeah, they've all turned out really nicely. Our next three we have planned are going to be I think, really good. They're pretty obscure, so I don't think like they're going to be coming out anytime soon, especially the one we're doing this May. There's no way. There's no way.
When can people expect you or look for you guys to announce that?
Probably a month before the show, we'll start doing pictures and I'll start doing teases. Like, I mean, I could do a tease here. I'll message you a tease right now. I mean, you might get it like right off the bat, but you also might be like, I have no idea what this what this is. I mean, that looks cool, but I don't know what you're doing. But yeah, about a month out, I'll start promoting it. And every week I'll probably do little teasers. And then like a week or two before the actual show, it'll be the whole figure. And usually Robert Rust does like a photo shoot. And when he does the photo shoot, that's when we start. Like the last pictures we did with the bat, actually my buddy Phoenix did them. And God, they came out because he had a diorama. So all that stuff that was on the bat, he had like this, I don't know what you would call it, like he was being built and assembled by the Dreadnoks and Monkey Wrench and all that. It was really cool. So we'll probably do something like that. We never announced like prices. Everyone's like, how much is it going to cost? I'm like, oh, you know, like Jokon, you know, Jokon never told us the price.
You have to build it and pay the bill before you can set a price.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to end up like $5 in the red on every figure, and then that's the last exclusive we'll see. What I think is interesting is if you're going, so your show is on May 19th, if you're posting around a month out, you know, we were talking middle of April, but based on the exclusives you had in the past, the guests you've had in the past, because you've had a lot of great people come through as guests, plus the four Joemen and everyone else in your group that help put the show together and attend the show and everything else, you don't want to wait till mid-April to buy your ticket, plane ticket, if you have to fly out there. It's cheaper to get it now.
Correct.
Which is why we're talking now. It's Southern California. So you go out there for a one-day show, you stay to hang out with your friends for an extra day or so, and then drive up to Anaheim and do Disney and Paramount or whatever the things are, or drive down to the border, cross the border, go to Mexico, go to the ocean. Like, it doesn't have to be just G.I. Joe when you get on a plane, but G.I. Joe should be the impetus for why you buy that plane ticket.
Exactly. That's how we look at it. And we hope other people look at it too.
That, I mean, that's how I look at it. I do a big West Coast trip, and getting down to Southern California is part of that trip for me. The way I see it is it's cheaper for me to buy a one-way ticket to you guys, a one-way ticket to Canada, a one-way ticket to, you know, drive into Washington, but a one-way ticket home from Seattle than it is to buy three round-trip tickets. And so if I bake it all in, I get to go out there for more than a day and a half, and I get the whole experience, and I come home with toys. Speaking of, like, the last time I went out there, and I went toy shopping with Solar, and I went to Canada. I went toy shopping with my buddy. And then in Seattle, Joey Panetta drove over the mountains when he was still living out that way. And we went toy shopping. By the time I got to the airport, half of my bags were G.I. Joe and toys. It is worth getting out to California for your guys' show, but then staying for a couple of days for the commune of seeing you guys when you're not busy running a show. And then also, put your feet in the water, you know, go see the Pacific.
yeah.
Find out why we call it the best coast, right?
100% agree. There's a lot to do out here. I mean, just in Temecula, if you're out in Temecula, you know, they call it wine country. So, and you know, we have Old Town, but mainly there's a, not that I know a lot of Joe collectors that are winos, but if they, most of the collectors I know, like myself, like example, let's take the four Joe men. You got me, Drew, Ron, Robert. We all have wives and we all have kids. The reason my wife hasn't gone to Joe Fest with me is because it's in Augusta and I like it there. It's nice. We have a good time when I'm with my friends, you know, me, Ron, Drew, Robert, we're all hanging out and doing our stuff and, you know, chilling, getting food, going to Waffle House. But my wife's not going to want to hang out there. My kids are not going to want to hang out there. When the last JoeCon was in Tennessee, where was it? Chattanooga. I tried hard. I'm like, babe, Chattanooga, they got a train or some crap. I don't know. They have a boat on a river. Let's do it. She's like, no, I'm not taking the kids to Chattanooga.
She should have. Chattanooga, downtown Chattanooga, has a ton to do for kids and for families.
It's nice. I went to the aquarium there. It was great.
That one was definitely one that had a lot to do for families. I don't know about Augusta, and maybe that's something that Ed could put out into the world of, here's things to do in Augusta for your family, or if your family is bored and they want to go to Atlanta, it's only 2.5 hour drive.
I will say this, though. Augusta's beautiful because
it really is.
Like, you drive there, and, you know, it's right next to South Carolina, because I think Ed actually lives there. You go right over the bridge, and, like, the roads are maintained. And I'm not talking, like, the actual road. I'm talking the side of the road. They're, like, mowing the lawns, and they're all green and beautiful. I mean, I'm here in California. It's disgusting on the side of the roads, and our roads are absolute trash. Like, it is just night and day. But Augusta is beautiful. It's nice. That's the time I get to have Waffle House, which everybody makes fun of me because they think it's disgusting. I'm like, dude, I'm in California. You know, everybody, you guys are like, let's go to In-N-Out. Don't get me wrong. I like In-N-Out, but, like, I don't have Waffle House. I don't have that where I'm from. And I want to get waffles with a ton of butter and a ton of syrup for like $3.99. I mean, give me a break. It's cheap, dude. It's so cheap. If I wanted waffles and butter and syrup here, I'd have to go to a pancake house, and they're like $14.99. It's ridiculous. I could have 3 servings of Waffle House.
Waffle House is gross. They're correct, but also that's why you're there. You go there for the gross. Like, I don't find In-N-Out very compelling, but every time I go out west, I go and eat it. I don't find Whataburger very compelling. I don't find fast food compelling, so let's be fair. But if I go someplace and that's your thing, I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
When people come to Nashville, I'm like, what's your spice level? Because we have to go have Nashville hot chicken. Can you handle the heat? And if not, well, we'll order plain because we're going. You got to try it. It's the regional thing. If you're out in the country where there's Waffle Houses, you got to hit them up. You can worry about, you know, intestinal fortitude later.
Yeah.
It's the experience.
Yeah, it is. And that is part of the experience. You know, you get back to your hotel, you're like, oh, God, I feel horrible. Usually I'm fine. I'm sure. Fine. Dave and Robert, though, they must have weak little tummies because they're like in the restroom for like the whole rest of the evening. I'm like, but I like spicy food. So
this is where you need to get them weak little tummy t-shirts and not For Joe Men t-shirts.
Exactly.
Can Hayes make a weak little tummy sticker?
He probably can. He probably totally could. I could see him doing that.
Oh, he absolutely could. He could design that.
He makes awesome stickers. I mean, he's always hooking us up because, like, he made stickers for the bat, and that was like an add-on. He just made that whole, it's like a sticker with the bat running. It's awesome looking. You know, he always hooks us up and gives us like little extras. That's another thing that's good is like when you, like you brought up, like if we went to a mom and pop shop in Temecula and we used to do our boxes in Temecula, you know, and the prices are similar to Jason, but, you know, to them, they're not giving us extra stuff because they're not collectors. Like Jason out of the blue's like, hey, I made this cool sticker of the bat, the artwork that Jamie did, and I just threw it in there because he's a collector. He's a G.I. Joe guy. So that's his mentality to make it more cool. You go someplace else, they're just going to be like, here's the job you asked for. Pretty much everyone I work with has been so easy so far during this whole process. They give me a price, I PayPal the price, and that's it. I've never had anyone like, oh, I need more money, or oh, I'm not going to have enough time, or oh, you know, I can't do this. Like everything, knock on wood, has been gravy. Like it just flows really nicely. That comes with the artwork that Jamie does, the stickers that Jason does, the casting that Jesse does, and then the customizing that Dave does. Because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of things going on. I mean, I'm the one like communicating with everyone. And that's all I'm doing is just like making sure everything's getting done on time. And then I make sure it all comes to us. And then we take that to Drew, and then we basically just assemble it, get it ready for the show. And that's how it's been going since day one. And so far it's worked out really good. And I just love how even Jesse, like, I order 80 of a kit that we need for one of the figures, and here's 84, you know, just in case a gun breaks or just in case one of the helmets is cracked. You know, you go to other places like that, I'm sure they provide good service, but they're not going to be giving you extra stuff because they're not G.I. Joe collectors.
Right. Even without the extra, you know, these guys are taking their time. They're taking, you know, they're putting their collector reputation, they're putting their collector love into it, not just fulfilling a vendor order or a customer order.
Yeah, exactly. It's not just a job to them. It's something that, you know, because that's another thing. We put our name at the bottom of each exclusive we've done. So it's got all of our names on it. And then I have like artist, customizer, you know, I put all that in there. And I even have, his name is Ro. He's up here in Los Angeles. He's a merchandising company and he can pretty much make anything and everything. And he makes all of our patches and pins.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for the December show, he's going to make either compasses or flashlights. Hopefully that doesn't spoil anything and people realize what we're making. But we're going to make either a compass for our figure in December, or we're going to do a flashlight. Not like a big giant magnum flashlight, just like a little mini flashlight, you know, just to have that you know, that feel for the figure. It's really nice. So he does all of our patches, our pins, and we always make sure we do a patch and pin. You know, I don't know why. Oh, and usually we do a lanyard. I have no idea why, because it's just more stuff.
I mean, it's the stuff you guys want, right?
Yeah, it's stuff that we want. Plus, not everybody buys an exclusive, but they want to get like the lanyard and the pin because it usually says SoCal Joe Show, or it is a symbol of what the figure is that we made. So maybe they don't want to buy the figure, but they want that pin and patch because, you know, it's got that symbol that the figure is that we did.
Personally, I love stickers. So anytime somebody comes with stickers, like, I get excited. I have a big bag of them. We put them on sketchbooks and on journals. Alexander and I, we just have a good time. So patches and pins, lanyards, all that stuff is just neat little add-ons. If I can wear a SoCal Joe Show lanyard, you know, if I'm walking into an office somewhere, then why would I wear just the thin black simple thing, right? I get to use that even once I'm home and outside of the show. I think that's a really neat idea. I can't carry a custom with me
yeah.
everywhere I go, but I can put a pin on my bag. I can put a patch on my jacket. I think it's fantastic that you guys take that extra step and you have someone that helps you with that, much like you have Hayes for your packaging and stickering and things. It sounds like you guys have a good team and a good path, and the train runs on time. The real thing is getting all of us out here to come and see you guys out there the same way as everybody expects you guys to come all the way out here for our 36 Joe shows a year. I need to come out. I have this desire to SoCal Joe Show it up. I already come out to see my friends. So if I can Joe Show it at the same time, then so much the better.
Yeah.
And with all your guys' customs, if we're not doing 215 again, then that's just another reason for people to get on the plane, come get the customs, do the thing, and then come and see you guys at whatever other shows you're setting up a table at, even though it's not your show. Showrunners are part of the community, so you guys show up at a couple other shows. I think it's fun. I don't like that I have to miss this May because of finals week, but most of the four Joe men will be at Joe Fest.
Most of them will be, yeah. Only me and Ron will not be there, but Rust, I believe, is going. Drew, Robert, Dave. Jesse's going to go there because he sells his customized heads. We already have a table there, so like we'll be there. We'll definitely be there. And that's another thing. So we're going to have 80 in May. We'll have 80 figures. The one, though, that's in Joe Fest, we have 20. It's a very small little run, but that we will have 20 of something. We'll have 20 of something. And then again, in December, it'll be about 80 of our main thing.
Yeah, you're jumping from a custom in May to a custom in June. There's no way for you to put a full design together twice in a month and a half.
Yeah, that's why we're doing like 80 and 20, which is 100 figures.
That's doable.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in a year span, because December of 2022, we had 213 Stardusters. Just under 6 months, May, the first week of May, we had 115 of our October Gardena figures. So we had 300 and almost 30 figures that we did. It was crazy. Oh, God, what a nightmare it was. But we did it. So now when I think like, oh, we need 80 and we need 20? That's a cakewalk. Easy.
Well, it does mean that anybody that wants these, they need to get to SoCal because 80 sells out fast.
It does.
And if there's no wait list afterward, right? You're not Mezco. You're not doing two-year pre-orders. And, you know, when you show up at Joe Fest, get to that table quick because 20 goes real fast.
Oh, yeah. Joe Fest. There's so many people. I remember, you know, because the table we have is where the doors open and they just... And the times I was there, so 2020, 21, and 22, we actually had exclusives there too. We did some Dreadnought stuff and we did a Iron Grenadier figure. And then in 2022, we brought about 12 or so of our Ground Assault. And we also did Tiger Force Falcon, a modern figure of Tiger Force Falcon. And we were next to, at that time, one side of us is Marauder. So there's like just this wall of people. And when the lines get huge, they're like, oh, hey, there's SoCal Joe Show. Let's go get us a little figure. And like they have these beautiful layouts of their displays. And we have like literally nothing. I mean, we just show up and we have a table. We're like, hey, but they all sold out.
I still have the Dreadnought tool chest that Duffy did for you guys at one of those shows.
Yeah, I love that thing.
We still play with it. But that never ended up in any sort of diorama display, permanent, set to the side. That is actively in use still to this day.
Yeah, I think that was 2021. That thing was great.
It hits the floor, gets dumped out. It's a lot of fun. It's hardy. It's been in play for 2 years.
In 2022, the last time I was there, he had his own huge area. It was huge. He bought like two areas. And then I think in 2020 and 2021, he shared with us. And then he's like, I'm not doing that anymore. I need more room. But I love how James brings those dioramas because that brings a lot of people to, well, his booth and our booth because we're always next to each other.
Yeah.
That flag one, and he did like that base one.
The base one was so good.
God, it's so good. And he didn't go last year, and he hasn't been to our shows. I think the last show he came to for us was, I think he was here in May of last year. So I haven't seen him in about a year, but I know he just had a third. They just had a third baby, and I know he's extremely busy with his store.
Yep.
I'm hoping he comes down here in May.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't asked him about your guys' May show or December show, but I know he loves getting down there. I know he loves being a part of your guys' crew. But yes, a third child and a new toy store, he has been wildly busy.
Yeah.
The last time we talked, that was the conversation. Sorry, I haven't talked to you. I've been wildly busy. And I'm like, okay, like do your thing, man.
Which is good. You know, I know that Rust is extremely busy. Drew is extremely busy. I mean, we're all extremely busy, except me. I am not busy at all right now because school is out for a week and I don't go back to work until a Monday. I mean, pretty much the footprint of the show is the same. It's in the same location. We're trying to look for a bigger location. That would be nice. But again, being in Southern California, the bigger the location, the more the cost is to do that.
Yes.
And right now in Temecula, where we're at, the cost is very reasonable for a day show. you know, it's in Temecula, which is about an hour for the people in San Diego and about an hour and change, depending on where you're at in Los Angeles. Central to us, because we all live in that area. So some people do have to do more driving.
That's something that we all fight against. We all are out there trying to convince people to get more than 15 minutes from their home to hang out at least once or twice, 17 times a year, with our tribe. You know, being an hour from San Diego means that's a great place to fly into, easy airport. Mm-hmm. Being in Temecula, you're not going to pay San Diego or LA prices for hoteling and food and everything else. Yeah, it's worth the fly in. It's worth the drive down or up. My experience with Temecula and the toy shops that are in town, because, I mean, if you're going to come out to a toy show, you also might as well hit up the local shops, patron a little bit. They're all fantastic. There's some great ones in town. You can get up into the larger cities if you want some Frankensons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But just being in Temecula, I know the food is good. I mean, there's places to get out into the hills and hike. There's plenty to do, as well as earmarking some time for, you know, one of the two big cities.
Yeah.
I think a trip to California for SoCal makes sense to anyone willing to sit down and look at the logistics of it. See you guys, hang out with everybody, and experience our tribe on the West Coast.
Yeah, definitely.
May 19, December 8, exclusives at both. A small smattering of exclusives at Joe Fest.
And it's going to be something different. You know, all three are going to be different exclusives.
Mid-April will be the announcement of the May 19 one.
Yeah, you know, the May 19 one. So that exclusive will be about we'll name it, start teasing it a month prior. And then literally right after our May show, we're pretty much going to be promoting what we're bringing to Joe Fest, because Joe Fest is a month after that.
Right around the corner. I've already put December 8 on the calendar, and let's see if I can get my Google flight trackers set up, see what we can do in terms of flying out there. But I'm every time you guys talk about your show, every time anybody talks about your show, I have this huge sense of FOMO, because I am missing out, and because I know you guys and I know how tight all of you guys are and how fantastic all of you guys are in our community, helping and giving advice, talking about crazy rare things, talking about crazy common things, and then that you're all sort of located within 10 to 30 minutes of each other and you guys all hang out. I think I have a lot of FOMO, which is why I wanted to have you on and help promote SoCal Joe Show May 19.
That's kind of what I did with the JoeCon. I wanted to go for many years, and then finally in 2011, Mission Brazil set, I just ripped off that Band-Aid, and ever since then, I went every year until it ended in 2018. I mean, you just got to go once. Once you go once, you can just schedule it as something that you just do.
Yeah.
And we don't want people coming two times a year, but like, say they can schedule to come in the May show, they come every May, or say they can schedule to come in the December show, they come out in December. I'd love to get more people out here. I mean, we get a lot of Californians, obviously, but it would be good to get some people from the Joe Cons and the Joe Fest. That would be a lot of fun.
Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
You, and I think many Joe people, because a lot of the Joe community know us. They know Drew. They know Robert Rust. You know, if they fly in on a Friday night and Saturday, you get to Joe it up with your pals and hang out. And usually what happens, like with Robert and James, when he drives down from Oregon, is we're always looking for help because we got to set up the table. So like, hey, you know, I'm here. I can't wait for this show. You know, what time does it start? Oh, it starts at 9, but we start set up at 7. And so people get there at 7 and they're helping us. And then, you know, the show starts. They make a whole day of it. It's really awesome. And then, you know, by 3 o'clock, we all get food together, dinner together, hang out and talk. And then basically see you guys in 6 months. Do the whole process over again.
This has been The Order of Battle.